Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. And today, we're tackling something.
Ooh, fun!
I know, right?
Yeah.
Something we all do, like all the time, but can never actually see thinking. You know, like what's actually going on in there.
Right.
Specifically, we're going to be exploring some notes from a discussion between educators.
Okay.
Who are kind of wrestling with this big question. How do you actually make thinking?
Oh, interesting.
Observable.
Yeah.
And measurable, especially when it comes to student learning.
Yeah.
It's tricky, right? Because you can't exactly give someone a
thinking
test the same way you can give them a math quiz or something.
It's a fascinating dilemma. These educators were realizing that a lot of the language we use around learning is like super vague.
It is, yeah.
You hear things like think critically or students will think.
Right.
But those phrases are almost meaningless in practical terms.
Totally.
They don't give us a clear picture of what's actually happening inside someone's mind.
It's like telling someone to be more brilliant.
Yes.
Like great advice.
Yeah.
But how do you actually do that?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. We can't observe the process of thinking itself. We can only observe the outcomes.
Right.
Think of it like a light bulb.
Okay.
You can see the light it emits, but the actual electrical process happening inside the bulb is invisible.
Okay, I see what you mean. So if we can't directly see thinking, how can educators measure whether students are actually like learning and thinking critically?
Mm-hmm.
And how can students even explain what they're struggling with if they can't articulate the specific thought processes they're like getting stuck on?
You know? That's where Bloom's taxonomy comes in.
Oh, yeah.
It's this framework that tries to bridge this gap between the invisible mental processes and observable actions.
Okay.
So instead of using those broad terms like think critically, Bloom's taxonomy gives us action verbs that represent those different levels of thinking.
So instead of just saying think, we might say like analyze or evaluate. Mm-hmm.
Precisely. These verbs point to specific cognitive skills that can be observed and measured.
I see.
So for example, instead of a teacher saying demonstrate critical thinking, they could use a more specific and measurable objective like students will analyze arguments for logical consistency and validity, for example.
So instead of aiming at like a nebulous concept, we're giving them a concrete target.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
And when it comes to students expressing their understanding or lack thereof, Bloom's taxonomy can be incredibly helpful too.
How so?
Imagine a student saying, I don't understand, versus saying, I'm having trouble evaluating the author's bias in this article.
Whoa, yeah. The second one is way more specific and useful.
Right.
Both for the student and the teacher.
Right. It pinpoints exactly where the student is getting stuck.
Yeah.
Which allows the teacher to provide more targeted support. It's like trying to fix a car.
Okay.
It's broken, isn't very helpful. But if you say, the engine is sputtering and there's a strange noise coming from the brakes.
Much better.
Then the mechanic knows exactly where to start looking.
This is already making me rethink how I communicate, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe we should all be carrying around like a copy of Bloom's taxonomy.
Right.
But before we, you know, go handing out Blooms to everyone, I think we need to break this down a bit more. What are these different levels of thinking that Bloom's taxonomy describes?
Okay, great question. So Bloom's taxonomy organizes these cognitive skills into this like hierarchy, kind of like a pyramid.
Oh, okay.
At the base, you have those most basic skills, like remembering and understanding information.
Right.
Then as you move up that pyramid, you get into those higher order thinking skills, like applying, analyzing, evaluating, and creating.
It's like climbing a ladder of thinking skills.
That's a great analogy. Each level builds upon the one below it.
I like that.
For example, you can't analyze something if you don't first understand it, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So walk us through those levels, this.
Okay.
Starting with that foundation, what does it mean to, like, remember in Bloom's taxonomy?
Okay, so at the remembering level, you're basically just recalling facts and information.
Okay.
Think of it like memorizing multiplication tables or key dates in history.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's that, like, just the facts, ma'am, level of thinking.
Exactly. Then we move up to understanding.
Okay.
This involves interpreting and explaining information.
Okay.
So you're not just repeating facts.
Right.
You're demonstrating that you actually grasp the meaning behind them.
So if remembering is knowing that the Battle of Hastings was in 1066.
Okay, yeah.
Understanding would be being able to explain why that battle was so significant in English history.
Perfect example. You're not just spitting out a date.
Right.
You're showing that you understand the context and significance.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm following so far.
Right.
What comes after understanding?
The next level is applying. This is where you take what you've learned and you use it in a new situation.
Oh, right.
Think about solving a math problem using a formula you've memorized.
Right.
Or writing a sentence using a new grammar rule.
So it's like putting knowledge into action.
Precisely. You're not just passively absorbing information. You're actively using it.
I see.
Then we get into those higher order thinking skills, starting with analyzing.
Okay.
This is where you break down information into its component parts.
Okay.
To understand the relationships and patterns.
Could you give me an example?
Yeah. So imagine you're reading a news article.
Okay.
Analyzing would involve identifying the author's main arguments.
Okay.
Examining the evidence presented.
Right.
And considering potential biases, you know?
Ah, so it's like being a detective.
Yes.
Piecing together the clues to understand the bigger picture.
Exactly. And after analyzing, we move up to evaluating.
Okay.
This is where you make judgments about the value or validity of information.
Oh, you should.
You're weighing evidence, considering different perspectives.
Right.
And forming your own conclusions.
So it's not just about understanding something.
Yeah.
It's about deciding whether you actually agree with it.
Yeah.
Or find it credible.
Precisely. You're thinking critically and forming your own opinions.
Okay.
And finally, we reach the pinnacle of Bloom's taxonomy.
Ooh.
Creating.
On top of the pyramid, what mental acrobatics are happening up there?
Creating involves producing something new and original.
Okay.
This could be anything from writing a poem.
Right.
To designing an experiment, to coming up with a business plan.
Wow.
You're taking all the knowledge and skills you've developed.
Right.
And using them to generate something unique.
Wow. So it's like the ultimate expression of learning, taking all those raw materials
yeah.
and building something totally new.
Exactly. And it's important to note that these levels aren't necessarily linear.
Okay.
You might jump back and forth between them.
Right.
As you grapple with new information or problems.
This is fascinating stuff. I'm already starting to see how understanding Bloom's taxonomy can be useful.
Yeah.
Far beyond the classroom.
Totally.
But before we get into that, I'm curious.
Yeah.
How does this framework help us with that original challenge we were discussing?
Right.
The challenge of making those invisible thought processes more observable and measurable.
That's where the real magic of Bloom's taxonomy comes in.
Okay.
By using those action verbs.
Okay.
Analyze, evaluate, create.
Yeah.
We're giving students those concrete targets to aim for and specific language to actually express their thinking instead of saying, I don't understand.
Yeah.
A student can say, I'm having trouble analyzing the relationship between these two characters.
Right. Much more specific.
That level of precision allows the teacher to provide more targeted support.
Yeah.
And it helps the student become more aware of their own cognitive processes.
Like shining a light on those invisible thought processes.
Yeah.
Making them more tangible and easier to work with.
Exactly. And by understanding the different levels of Bloom's taxonomy,
right.
students can identify their learning strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
They might realize, oh, I'm great at remembering and understanding, but I struggle with applying or evaluating.
That self-awareness can be so empowering. It's like giving students a roadmap.
Absolutely.
For their own learning journey.
And it allows teachers to design more effective learning experiences
right.
that target those specific cognitive skills.
Instead of just throwing information at them.
Exactly.
Make them analyze, evaluate, create.
Exactly.
This is truly mind-blowing stuff. It's like we're cracking the code of learning and thinking.
It is.
But I have to ask.
Yeah.
What about those times when thinking feels less like, you know, a structured pyramid?
Right.
And more like just a tangled mess of thoughts.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it brings us to another important aspect of making thinking observable.
Okay.
Metacognition.
Okay, that's a new word for me.
Yeah.
What is metacognition?
Metacognition is simply thinking about thinking.
Oh.
It's the ability to step back from your own thought processes and observe them objectively.
Interesting.
Think of it like having an inner commentator who's narrating your thoughts as they happen.
So instead of just being swept away by my thoughts, I'm consciously aware of them.
Exactly. And by developing these metacognitive skills,
okay.
students can become more effective learners.
Makes sense.
They can identify when they're struggling, pinpoint the source of their confusion, and adjust their learning strategies accordingly.
It's like having a superpower.
Aha, uh-huh. It is.
You're not just thinking.
Right.
you're also in control of how you think.
Precisely. And this is where Bloom's taxonomy can play a crucial role.
Okay.
By using those action verbs,
uh-huh.
students can become more aware of the different levels of thinking they're engaging in.
Right.
They can ask themselves, am I just remembering facts? Or am I analyzing this information critically?
Yeah.
Am I simply accepting what I'm reading? Or am I evaluating the author's claims?
It's like having a mental checklist.
Yeah.
To ensure you're not just passively absorbing information.
Right.
But actively engaging with it at like a deeper level.
Exactly. And this kind of metacognitive awareness is crucial for becoming a more effective learner.
Yeah.
And a more critical thinker.
This has been an incredible journey into the world of thinking so far.
I know. It's fascinating, right?
We've explored how Bloom's taxonomy can help us make those invisible thought processes
right.
more observable and measurable.
Yeah.
We've discussed the different levels of thinking and how they build upon each other.
Right.
And we've delved into the power of metacognition, that ability to think about thinking.
Absolutely.
But I can't help but wonder,
yeah.
are there other ways to make thinking visible besides Bloom's taxonomy?
Yeah, I mean, Bloom's taxonomy seems like a really powerful tool.
It is.
But are there other ways to make thinking visible besides Bloom's taxonomy?
Absolutely. Bloom's taxonomy is just one framework.
Right.
And it's not like a one-size-fits-all solution.
Of course. There are other approaches that can be really helpful.
Okay.
Depending on the context.
I'm intrigued. What are some of those other methods or frameworks that like educators use to make thinking visible?
One approach is to focus on the process of learning itself.
Okay.
Instead of just looking at that end product, you know?
Right.
You can observe how students approach a problem.
Okay.
What strategies they use.
Yeah.
How they adapt their thinking when they encounter obstacles.
So it's not just about the destination.
Right.
It's about the journey.
Exactly. The journey can reveal a lot about a student's thinking processes.
I see.
For example, you might observe that a student is very good at brainstorming ideas.
Okay.
But they struggle with organizing them into a coherent argument.
Yeah, I can see that.
That observation can help the teacher provide like targeted support in that specific area.
That makes sense.
So how do you actually observe these thought processes in action?
Right. Like, do you just stare intensely at students while they work?
Well, you could try that, but it might not be the most effective approach.
Probably not.
There are more structured ways to observe and document student thinking.
Okay.
One common method is called think-alouds.
Think-alouds. What are those?
Think-alouds are exactly what they sound like.
Okay.
You ask students to verbalize their thoughts as they work through a problem or task.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So they're basically narrating their own thought processes in real time.
Precisely. It's like giving them a microphone to their inner monologue.
That's cool.
This can be incredibly valuable because it allows teachers to see the steps students are taking, the strategies they're using, and where they might be getting stuck.
Wow. That sounds like it could provide some really amazing insights.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be like distracting for students to have to talk out loud while they're trying to think?
It can take some practice.
Okay.
But students actually get used to it pretty quickly.
Okay.
And the benefits far outweigh that initial discomfort.
Right.
Think alouds not only help teachers understand student thinking,
right,
but they also help students become more aware of their own cognitive processes.
Wait, it's like that metacognition thing we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Mm. And the more students practice verbalizing their thoughts, mm. the more they develop those metacognitive skills.
Which can make them more independent and effective learners.
Exactly.
This is so cool. It's like we're opening up this whole new dimension of learning.
It is.
By making those invisible thought processes visible.
It's really fascinating.
Are there any other techniques or methods that educators use to achieve this?
Another powerful approach is to use visual representations of thinking.
Oh, okay.
Things like concept maps,
right.
diagrams, and graphic organizers.
Okay.
These can help students externalize their understanding and make connections between ideas in a more visual way.
So instead of just thinking about it in their heads,
right.
they're putting it down on paper.
Exactly. And the act of creating those visual representations can solidify understanding and help students see patterns and relationships that they might not have noticed otherwise. It's like creating a roadmap of their own thinking.
I love that analogy. It's like giving students the tools to navigate their own mental landscapes.
Exactly. And it's not just about creating those visuals for the teacher to see.
Right.
The process of creating them is valuable in itself.
Okay.
It forces students to actively engage with the material and think about it in a different way.
So it's not just about showing what they know. It's about deepening their understanding through the process of creating those visuals.
Precisely. It's a form of active learning that goes beyond passive absorption of information.
This is blowing my mind. We've gone from thinking about thinking as this mysterious,
right,
unobservable process,
yeah,
to exploring all these amazing tools and techniques that can bring it into the light.
It is pretty amazing.
And it's important to remember that making thinking visible isn't just about assessment or evaluation.
It's not.
It's about creating a culture of learning.
Yes.
Where students feel comfortable sharing their thought processes.
Right.
Asking questions.
Yeah.
And taking risks.
Exactly.
It's about celebrating that messy, beautiful process of learning and understanding.
Exactly. And when we create that kind of environment,
yeah,
amazing things can happen.
This has been such an incredible deep dive.
It has.
We've explored the challenges of making thinking observable.
Right.
The power of Bloom's taxonomy, the importance of metacognition.
Yeah.
And this whole range of techniques for bringing those invisible thought processes to life.
It's been a fascinating exploration.
It really has.
And I hope it's given our listeners some new insights into that wonderful world of thinking and learning.
Absolutely. We've covered so much ground today.
We have.
And I'm sure our listeners will have plenty to ponder as they continue on their own learning adventures.
I hope so.
Keep those brain gears turning.
Yes.
And we'll be back next time with another deep dive into the mysteries of the mind.
See you then.